this Sunday conversation. We have a nice sit down with essentially just an all around great guy and professional. Enjoy.
Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
Well, we're back for another podcast, and we have a great guest, James.
How you doing?
Tell us a little about yourself.
Basically, I grew up with bodybuilding and powerlifting. Kind of started working out when I was like 13. More so, you know, I just love sports, any type of sports, boxing, football, basketball. I don't really watch a lot of baseball, but there was a point in time where I liked baseball.
And that's my sport.
I liked it to a point where I was in school, and I remember the first time I went out for tryouts, I was standing behind one of my friends, and he had a pair of braces on. And I was hyped up and ready to hit this ball, and I seen a dude throw a fastball, hit my friend right in the mouth. The braces went right through his lips. I looked at my dad, dropped the bat, I said, fuck it, I'm out. I'm done. I'll do contact sport, but that's my biggest fear. I'm too self-conscious on my teeth. I can't.
it's pretty funny to break that, because that's what a lot of baseball players, they talk about. The worst incident they ever had is when they hit a line drive in the future. Because it's one of those things that's like...
And the thing is, it's so fast that you can't even move. You're just... It's like seeing a car come your way and you're like, oh, shit. And you're done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, I pretty, you know, stick around any type of, like, you know... Boxing or anything athletic wise, it's just been my passion for the longest. And if you know my dad, I mean,
I know your dad. Yeah,
he's an asshole, but I mean, at the end of the day, you know, people will hear his mouth, but if you get past his mouth and you really understand what he's trying to say, it's a lot of knowledge there, mm-hmm. and it's to the point where you should be able to have a good looking body and still be able to push heavy weight. You know, because when people think powerlifter, you know, you think fat, nasty, just, yep. you know, if I weigh 300 pounds, I should be able to push 300 plus.
Well, they think of the strongman.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, now you see where even with the strongman, like, you know, Eddie Hall and them, they have nice shoulders, they got chest, they got back. I mean, they still have a little bit of a stomach, but it's not fat, you know, it's toned up.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you should, and I mean, in my eyes, powerlifting was still bodybuilding back in the day. I mean, all of them used to warm up with 315, 400 pounds, you know, for 20, 30 reps. So, you know, when people hear this shit, you're just like, it sounds outrageous, but it really goes to show, like, old school style of training, which is what my dad has, versus the new school shit where I rely on my diet and I'm just here to look cute.
Right.
You know, you see so many fit. I mean, don't get me wrong. Everybody puts in hard work. 100% I appreciate it. But when you see them and they have this persona where they just want to be cocky and, you know, oh, I'm this, I'm that, and you can't bench more than my girl. I mean, it's like, yeah.
Show muscles, what they call it. Show muscles.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not knocking it, dude. It's being on the diet is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. Because my fat, I like to eat. I don't care what it is, see, barbecue. You know, if you know me, I like to eat. But there's a point of, you know, you can't out-eat a bad diet. But there's a point of also treating yourself to where... I don't particularly eat dirty. I have this thing with my teeth where, you know, if I'm eating dirty, I feel like there's a film on my teeth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people look at you dead in the mouth all the time. So it's like self-conscious thing. So, I mean, even though I might have like city barbecue or something like that, but it's something that I eat on the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, I eat chicken. You know, you got potatoes, it's french fries. I mean, hell, the only bad thing about it is the sodium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I might do that almost leading up to a show, but you got to think how many times I'm training a day. Plus, my job is active, so it's not like I'm sitting at a desk. I'm just chilling. You know, I'm really...
You're burning the
hell out of it, you know? And it's not to make an excuse saying, like, oh, my genetic, I can eat what I want. No, 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 no. When it's time to get, you know, nitty-gritty, I mean, hell, it's tuna, it's, you know, green beans, asparagus, you know, that shitty food.
Like, yeah, the food no one really likes.
Right.
But you go back to it, though, is... When years ago when Michael Phelps was doing all the swimming, they're talking mm-hmm. about he consumed 10,000 calories a day, but he swam for like 8 right. hours a day.
Exactly.
So they're like, well, I can't believe you can eat that much. Well, you got to think how much he's burning fuel. Like, look at a NASCAR. You know, I've been in NASCAR races. Mm. Every, 200 laps, they're getting gas.
Yeah, full tank.
Full tank. Yeah. Yep. They're going through that crap because they're running high RPMs. Same thing. If you run a high RPMs, you got to fuel yourself.
Right.
Because if not, you're going to crash and burn.
Exactly. And I think for, I don't want to say regular people because, you know, everybody has a chance at this. And, you know, it, for
It's the mental.
Exactly. I was about to say, it's all mental. You know, it really goes down to see, like, how bad do you want it? You know, and I what really down and waters it down is being on Instagram or Facebook, and you see so much BS of people trying to, you know, sell supplements or whatever the case may be. And you might have this really fit person, and yeah, they might take that product, but look at the background of them. Like, they've been working out. They've mm-hmm. been on a good diet. They've probably done shows. They've probably done, you know, other things leading up to this, you know, supplement. So for them to sit back and lie to these people like, oh, you know, I took the supplement for a week or two and boom, look at me. That's garbage. It's pure bullshit. And then you have so many people and trainers at that, you know, oh, you know, it's one thing if you have a background. Like, if you are knowledgeable and you have a mean background where people know of you, you know, oh, he has a good, you know, nutrition background and he's competed and he's done this. Then, yeah, leading up to it, if your body's a little bit out of shape, fully understandable. You got injuries. You have experience. Mm-hmm. It's different from looking at a book and being like, oh, you know, I know this book. That book applies to the general public. And that's fine. It looks good on your resume. But when you have experience, that means anybody that comes through that door, whether it be me, whether it be you, you know, a top line IFBB bodybuilder or a top line, you know, XPC powerlifter, whatever the case, I'll be able to train them. Because why? I have experience. It's not just a book.
Yeah.
You know, and people just assume like, oh, and you always get them trainers that they give regular people who've never trained a day in their life, football workouts. Well, no shit, you're going to burn them out. They're doing football. Hell, it's not even my, you know, my field anymore. If I did a football workout, I would die.
Yeah.
Because I'm not built for that. Now, I'm not saying that I can't do cardio or anything like that, but to act like you're a supreme trainer and you're just out here killing people. Dude, get real. You're doing a football, a football-based workout or a basketball-based workout. You're going to burn anybody up with that shit. So it just, and then nonetheless, you have to know the difference between tricks and training. That might look cool doing like, you know, an open pull-up or something like that.
Yeah.
But in 6 months, where did it put you?
No.
Or you still look the same.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, where's that top training go?
Well, the thing we always tell people is like the Shape Magazine trainers. Like, where'd you get that? Oh, I read Men's Fitness Today or Shape Magazine.
Right.
And you're right, because it's one thing to have the experience on taking someone like you and training them the way that your body needs to be developed or the program you want to, and then something like, well, I'm just going to do this today because anybody can burn anybody out.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're going to do push-ups. How many? Until you're done.
Right.
Or we're going to do squats until you can't walk. Well, mm-hmm. Of course, you give them enough reps and enough weight. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Right.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Exactly.
But like you said, where is that going to lead it to? And mm-hmm. most of the time, it leads nowhere. But it's, go back to Instagram. There's some good things it's done for the fitness industry.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I think it's probably 50-50 where it's done good and done bad.
It's definitely watered down.
And you see some people that have no business talking about fitness.
Right.
And you look at their form, you're like, that is god-awful.
Exactly. And the bad part is they're teaching it to other people.
Yeah, and they have hundreds of thousands of followers.
They got 100,000K, you know, followers, whatever. And you're just like, so let me get this straight. The bullshit is what sells. So, you know, I used to train. And it got to a point where I was really sitting at home and I was like, I can't do this anymore because it's pushing me to be a fake trainer. Mm-hmm. And I can't. Because you have to think, these people that you're training, for one, you're dealing with their livelihood, you're dealing with their money, and for three, I mean, they're a walking billboard of you. So if you're telling them, you know, how to train, and they look like garbage, and then somebody else, you know, hey, who are you training with? Oh, I'll train with Jane. Ugh.
Yeah.
Damn, that's like you go to a barber and you get your hair cut. And if the haircut's good as hell, oh, you know, I went to Barber Zone to go, you know, hit up Keith, and oh, my hair looks bomb. It looks good as hell. And then you go to another just in the basement barber, your hair gets messed up, and then they're like, oh, who cut your hair? You're like, you don't want to say anything, you know? So that's how training is, you know, if you're, and then, I mean, hell, even to be the client, if you're the client and you have a good trainer, even, I mean, it's not to say that you have to step in the fitness world and be, oh, you know, I have to do bodybuilding, or I have to do wellness division, or I have to do, you don't have to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So I think in short terms that when people jump in this fitness realm, they get pushed into something that they're not ready for. And I think that's how people either fall off or they go somewhere they don't want to be. And they lose that burn sooner or later. Because when I started training people, you know, at first I was like, okay, well, how do I want to take it? And it got to a point where even like in my questionnaire, I would ask, what are you doing this for? Who are you doing this for? What is your actual goal? And, you know, it killed me because I started noticing a lot of stuff from like 21 all the way up till now, and I'm 32. And I mean, that goes to show with the experience. You usually get, you know, people that either been in a bad relationship or doing it for somebody else. They're, at the end of the day, they're not doing it for them. And I've cut people off real short for that. Because if I ask you, and that's the main thing I'm looking for when I read you, is, okay, who are you doing this for? If you tell me anything else but yourself, you can go to another trainer. And the only reason why I do that is because I've trained people long enough to the point where I've seen people really, you know, change their body. And whether it be, you know, male or female, doesn't matter. They've changed their body. And then once that other person comes in that they're trying to use for motivation, and it, just for example, for a female, I'll ask you, you know, hey, who are you doing this for? Oh, well, my boyfriend said I'm fat. My, for one, if he tells you fat, you need to leave
him. Yeah, yeah.
You're fine. You know, you're, and I, don't get me wrong. Everyone's beautiful in their own way. You know, so if you like being heavy set, cool. So be it. God made everybody different. I love that. It's variety. I know big women that dress well. You know, Monique, you know, I mean, there's ways of handling yourself. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if you're not doing it for yourself, it's pointless to do, because let's say I start getting your body right, right? And time goes on, you start looking right, you know, your ass is tight, your legs go with it, you know, you got a stomach, and now, you know, people are starting to notice you. Your dress fits well, your pants fit well, whatever females look for nowadays. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that guy that you use as motivation comes back, oh, hey, baby, what's up? Now, I guarantee the first thing out of his mouth, I don't want you training with that guy
anymore. Yeah.
Because you're either effing him or, you know, he just, there's no trust there.
Yeah.
And it's his own insecurity. Or you have it to the point where he thinks that he can train you better than me. Which, if you can, do by all means. The whole point of being a trainer is to teach you, is to basically teach myself out of a job.
Yeah. So you're coaching them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, and you know, just hit me up for, you know, maybe you need a different idea of things. But even for a guy, you know, if the girl comes back, you'll start to see, hit me up, oh man, well, you know, I can't make it. And then time goes on, oh, I'm good. I think I'll just work out in the gym. And you're just like, what the change? You know, and it just so happened that I had it happen to me, and I'm just really looking back at people like, oh, this is real. And then all of a sudden, boom, they get burned again. 4 months down the line, hey, James, you still training people? No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't even call.
And see, I think that's what a lot of trainers, they have the revolving door. One, they don't want to tell all their secrets. And first of all, it's not a secret. It's how the body moves.
Right.
There's no secret about it. Everyone knows it. It's just some people know how to coach it better than others.
Exactly.
But the point you made where, which I think a lot of coaches need to hear this, is your client should be doing it for themselves, mm-hmm. and not somebody else, because that burnout factor is always in there. Again, yeah. I'm getting ready for a wedding. Okay, so you have a wedding in 6 months. So what, after 6 months, we're done?
You're just going to go to shit.
Yeah. So you look good for one day, right, and you're done. Right. Or it's, you know, I want to get my baby weight up. Okay, that's great. But why don't we keep this going, so when you have a baby the next time,
exactly,
the pregnancy becomes easier, yeah, getting your back on your feet comes easier.
And it's healthier.
And it's healthier.
Healthier for the baby.
And that's one thing I never understood is, you know, when people say, I just want to get healthier, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
What does it mean to be healthier? Is it your idea? Is it the doctor's idea? Mm. Husband, wife, boyfriend, doesn't matter. And if someone doesn't want to do something for themselves,
right,
what's the point?
Exactly.
But it's very easy to say, hey, I want to be successful. Why? I want to have a big house. I want money. I want cars. For what? For me.
Right.
But when it talks about their body, yeah, they're like, well, that person wants me to look better.
Exactly. And I think it gets to a point where, you know, mentally, people have an idea. And I mean, everybody has goals, and that's good. But what are you really willing to sacrifice for?
Very few seem like lately want to sacrifice anything.
Right. And I mean, the thing is, people think that, you know, in the fitness world that, oh, you know, I got to be in the gym for an hour. I got to be in the gym for 2 hours. Bullshit. If you're in the gym for an hour or two, you're taking selfies, you're talking a storm. I'll tell you right now, 35, 40 minutes between, you know, training at a powerlifting gym like Lexan or coming here, training with my dad, I'm done in 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Anything more than that, just kill me.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee my dad's going to burn out reps, and we're doing it, you know, with heavyweight or lightweight. So, I mean, yeah, we talk, we laugh, we chop up, but at the end of the day, we're getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, like, it's very good to enjoy yourself while you're working out. That's what keeps the motivation. Because mm-hmm. when you start to see things and you have a group of people that are into the same thing as you, it's kind of motivating. You know, it's like, okay, good, I'm not the only one kissing ass here. Like, I'm good. Like, yeah, let's do this. And then it also plays into accountability. You know, oh, damn, I know my crew's coming in today. I can't let them down. I got to come. But that can go both ways, because if you have a shitty crew, you might have one person in that group that'd be like, oh, man, I don't know if I... And then it starts to rub off on people.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very...
Well, it's a team. It's like a cancer.
Right. You got to be careful with who you really put your body in hands with. Because if you have a group of people that's really not about it, I mean, shit, you might as well just be training off of Instagram, looking at the waist trainers and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that, between the waist trainers and, you know, the other things, I'm not trying to bash anybody. You know, whatever is successful in your field, by all means, do it. If it's working, don't stop. Do it. But realize when, you know, people have these supplements or they have these waist trainers or they have, you know, these diet drinks, whatever the hell they come up with, somewhere in there, there's still that hard work of going to the gym. So, you know,
there's no magic pill.
There's no magic pill. It is, you know, what you eat. You know, you can't out-eat a bad diet.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the training, the hard work that you put in the gym, you can't defeat that.
No.
You know, and it's really the journey. It's not even, at, you know, what you get at the end. It's the journey up to it because, you know, it's really a golden story of somebody going from being, you know, 300 pounds to, oh, look at me now, I'm fit and, you know, I'm successful and I'm happy with my body. I mean, when you think about it, weight really means nothing. I weigh 225 and people think I'm 250.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might have somebody, you know, a female that she weighs 200 pounds.
But weight only matters when it rains.
But, you know, she's, you know, fit. Mm-hmm. So if you compare a fit 200-pound female to a unfit 200-pound female, I mean, you're going to see the big difference.
Yes. Someone's going to be soft, and one's going to be hard. Yeah.
I think it's more the fitness really controls the female status because it's such a hard mental thing for them, and especially with doing shows or even just them, period, because society's made it where you have to look a certain way. You know, you have to dress a certain way. As long as you're happy with yourself and you know how to dress, who cares? But at the same time, it's good to be healthy and, you know, take care of yourself. But don't let, you know, either your boyfriend or the media or society dictate on how you should look. You know, if you want to be beautiful and go do, you know, cardio once a day or twice, you know, twice within a week, and that's what floats your boat, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's saying that you strictly have to be on this thing. But if you're going to sit there and argue the point that, you know, media is just, it has so much controlling. And I think people need to learn how to turn it off and just really, like, look at themselves in the mirror and be like, you know, what do I want to do for me? How do I want to look?
It's a tough question to ask,
though.
What do
I want
to
feel? And, you know, and I keep saying female because for a guy, I mean, hell, either you're going to like us or not. It's like, you know, it's like for them when they get their haircut. When we get our haircut, we're out the door.
Yeah.
For them, I don't like my hair like this, cut it over again.
Yep.
And I don't like this, cut it over again. Or if you take a picture, I don't like this the way
it is. Delete it.
Delete it. Give me another one.
We're just like,
we're good? I got a burger in my nose? All right, just keep it there. It's funny. I'll take it. You know, it's crazy how, you know, both sides are.
Well, it's also comes with confidence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And again, with social media, with media, just in general, the females should look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, it's just, we just need to be living essentially nowadays. Because
right.
It's switched. You know, 10 years ago, guys were guys need to look this way.
Right.
And now girls need to look this way.
Right.
It's just, it's one of those ebb and flows. It changes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure you have it when people probably come up to you all the time and be like, man, I wish I had a body like you. I wish I could look like you. And you probably said, you can't. Oh, no, I don't have the time.
Yeah,
I don't have the genetics.
Yep.
And it's just like, how do you answer that question? Because I'd just want to be like, okay, then fine. Then stop acting. If you want to look like me,
right,
come with me. Come work out with me. And you're like, oh, no, I can't do that.
Yep. Well, I think for them it's intimidating. And, you know, they might see somebody like me or, you know, somebody, whoever's fit, and be like, oh, man, you know, people are going to laugh at me in the gym.
No.
Trust me. There's so many people in this gym, I guarantee nobody's going
to
notice you.
And see, I hear that, too. It's like, I've never been to a gym where someone's pointing and laughing at me.
No.
I'm like, what gym have you gone to where that happens?
Right. And, I mean, you probably see it on all the time, like YouTube, like gym fails. And, I mean,
yeah.
Those are probably the people that get pointed at because...
But those people go to Planet Fitness and
exactly.
LA Fitness. Those aren't gyms.
Right. They're commercial gyms at that.
They're hangout spots with weights in
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I just laugh at it because some of the stuff, I don't know where they pull it out of because...
Men's Fitness?
Yeah. you see them pull it out and you're just like... I think it's more so shocking for me. Like, I don't think I would take my phone out and record unless he was just doing some absurd shit. But as far as, like...
See, that tells you. Where else would you be where guys would constantly have their phone out to record that stuff? You're never going to get someone to record that stuff
in
here.
No,
you're going to get someone to come and tap it on the show like, dude.
Right.
Let's go do something else. Yeah.
it's just... Oh, man. But also, you know, when you really think about it, and I mean, we talked about it before we even turned this on, is... What can I do that's so out of the box to be noticed. And I think nowadays, because of Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat, and I mean, there's good money in it. There really is. And it's ridiculous money at the point where you got people that, even in the fitness world, that shouldn't be famous, that are famous just because of some dumb shit that they did in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it goes to where it, I don't know, I just think having a camera is just a bad thing. Because it's just like Twitter, like not everybody needs to put out what's the first thing on your mind. Because normally the first thing on your mind is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to go with your gut and know that, you know what, maybe I do need help in the gym. I think for males, it's a pride thing.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to, you know...
It's like asking for directions.
Right. Nobody wants to... or asking how to build something, for that matter. You know, nobody wants to seem awkward in front of their girlfriend, like, you don't know what you're doing. And I hate that. That's one of my biggest pet peeves in the gym is, like, you might have the guy that, you know, lift weights with his boys, and he doesn't know exactly what he's doing. He knows somewhat. Like, I mean, guys, period, that's just our natural state.
Mm-hmm.
But to make your girl walk around with you and follow you, and you're teaching her bad form, you're teaching her this, just because you don't want her to have a trainer. I mean, hell, get her a female trainer. If it means that much to you, dude, like, relax. Like, trust me, plenty of people, it's just like mailmen have mailmen, trainers have trainers,
uh-huh.
You know, coaches have coaches. I mean, it's just a never-ending field, and that's what I love so much about the fitness industry is that nobody can walk through this door and be like, I know everything.
Yep.
Because if you're the smartest person in the room, it's time for you to leave.
Yeah.
It's so watered down to where people think that they just know everything, and you'd be surprised how people act when a camera comes out. It blows my mind every single time to where I've trained with plenty of people, and not to say they're not working hard, but I've trained with you before, man. Like, I know for a fact you're not killing this workout. You're killing in front of camera for maybe 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that you rep this amount or say you push this amount, and I think that's really where my mind kind of twisted up when I stepped into powerlifting, because for bodybuilding, it's so subjective and optional to where what I think a body should look like might not match yours, and that's why they have multiple judges. And it's not to say that the judges don't know what they're looking for. I've met plenty of judges that are, you know, great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they couldn't have pointed out anything better on me to where I was just like, you know what, I've never done. Yeah, I definitely do need to work on that. But you have to be open-minded in that field. But it's subjective to where, you know, in bodybuilding, you might stand on stage and be like, oh, well, he might have outposed you, or he might have a better back than you, or he might have better abs. In powerlifting, if you can't pick that shit up, you ain't get it. I got it an inch off the ground. No, fuck that.
It's black and white.
You just didn't get it. And that's what I love about powerlifting. Like, when I went over to Lex and Extreme, you know, they've had so many, you know, strong lifters come through to where, you know, I'm a power builder where I look good and I can still push heavy. A lot of technique goes into that manner. And not to say that, you know, that's the only gym that you can learn techniques from, because, I mean, there's a million gyms, mm-hmm. You know, but as far as, like, you know, strength wise, I vouch for that gym. That is a good gym. And it just goes to a show where, you know, when your mind is open to different things, that when you train, no matter where you go, you should be able to hit heavy weight. Whether I come to the gym, whether I go to, you know, Planet Fitness, whether I go to, you know, anywhere else.
How are you supposed to hit heavy weight at Planet Fitness?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're gonna bang. They ain't gonna let me through the front door.
No.
But, you know, it's so many people that think that, oh, because I'm big, I can lift heavy.
Well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Big cars, big men.
Yep.
Everything's big. I mean, you see someone big, you're automatically thinking they're going to lift weight. Then you see someone that's small, oh, they can't lift it.
Right.
But then they're like Hercules.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, it's one of those things where there's a lot of perception when it comes to fitness, and some people get the perception poorly.
Mm-hmm.
They get it from social media. Yep. They don't have, and they see someone like you, and they're thinking, oh, that guy, I can't be like him.
Right.
And it's just like, why?
Yeah. I think, you know, with that being said, it goes to show where it's almost in your mind, like when you're training, and I know you've probably felt this before, where everybody's their own, you know, their, how do you want to say it, their own worst critic, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might look at your body and be like, man, I fucking look like shit. Like, I need to fix this. And you might actually look good, you know, in society's eyes. But people have to realize that even though you think you should be way better off and you think you should look like this, there's always one person behind you that'd be like, man, if I could just get to that, I would be good. And you have to take accountability for that. And that has to make you feel good because, you know, other people are looking up to you. And you're just like them. They see you on an everyday basis. You have an everyday, you know, job. Mm-hmm. And to have someone look at you and, you know, just shake your hand and be like, oh, man, I wish I could look like you. You know, somebody I look up to. I mean, that has to make you feel good. That means the work that you're putting in is showing. And you're motivating others. And that's the whole point of this. You know, and that's why, you know, I also like coming here because everybody here, they work.
Yeah.
You know, I have yet to see somebody just dead flat, just take a damn selfie and just keep doing it throughout the day. Or just sit there. I've been to, I'm not going to say the gym I was at, but I went upstairs and I went to train. I'm getting my ass whipped. I just happened to look over because we was about to use the leg press. Mm-hmm. No lie. I lied to you not. Dude was on the leg press with weight on it, reading the damn book. And I'm like, I want it to be an ass and be like, hey, how many more sets you got? Like,
yeah. What chapter are you on?
What chapter are you on? You on the last chapter or, you know, can I get in? But I just, it pissed me off to where I'm like, dude, they make libraries for that. You know, if anything, go to the treadmill or go to the Stairmaster and read the book.
Audio
Plenty books. Of people do it. Audiobook. You know, whatever floats your boat. But the dude literally was just sitting, didn't even have his legs up on the press.
Just sitting there.
Just sitting there reading a damn book. And I'm just like, and there's no way he could complain about not hitting his goals. You're literally murdering yourself mm-hmm. in this right now. What was the point of even coming to the gym?
To say he went to the gym. To say I went to the gym today. Some people, again, I went to the gym for an hour, and then they're like, oh, but you're still out of shape.
Right.
Because they never asked that question. Well, what'd you do?
Right.
It's, again, I go to work 9 hours a day, and, you know, I don't have any money. Well, what'd you do at work? Just sat at work.
Just sat,
didn't do anything. I wasn't productive. Yep. It's the same thing. You have to put the time in mm-hmm. to be successful, regardless if it's for your body, for physique, for job, doesn't mm-hmm. matter. But everyone doesn't want to do it. They're just afraid to. But if you look at people that are in good health, mm-hmm. that look good, they typically have nice homes, mm-hmm. beautiful wife, beautiful yep. family. Yep. Kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does.
If they do well at their job, mm-hmm. they do well at their life, it kind of goes hand in hand.
Right.
I mean, I don't know very many people that are completely out of shape, horrible life, and then are very successful.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't do that way.
I mean, it's almost how we said where, you know, if you keep a short circle, I mean, you won't see it because everybody you're surrounded by is doing something.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about performance and how you bring it to the table, and your performance can motivate others.
Mm-hmm.
So if people see me and the way I perform, you know, out here in the gym, man, he's killing it. You don't know, you know, what led up to this. You know,
right.
You don't know, like, I got, you know, past due bills, or I got, you know, some shit to worry about where it's stressing me the hell out. You know, this is therapy for me. So when I come, yeah, I'm putting in the work. Because when I leave here, you know, it's going to show up my job. It's going to make me perform better at my job. Better at my job, I get paid more. I get paid more, everything around me
gets better.
So it's all about how you open your eyes and you perform during your day. You know, if you perform well at, you know, your activity, even if it's something small. I've been to the point where I was so, you know, dead beat to where I came to the gym maybe 10, 15 minutes. Wasn't much, but at least I made it.
That's all you needed that day.
No, you don't have to go balls to the wall every damn day. Nobody should. I don't even think that's... It's one thing to take, you know, say no days off. I've heard it saying a million times, and I'm not against it. And people have a misconception of saying no days off, not really realizing what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It means still perform your duties as if you went to the gym, which means if you have a certain way that you eat, when you, you know, train and everything, keep doing it. You know, if you, you know, go to the sauna, you know, after the gym, still go to the sauna. Just leave the workout alone.
Yeah.
Your body needs rest. The biggest part of your day in training is recovery.
Yeah.
Without recovery, you're not growing.
No.
And, you know, people just don't, like I said, it's just an influence thing of, you know, whatever media thing that you're on to where you get so wrapped up in bullshit that you're just like, oh, I can't take a day off. Now, don't get me wrong. Competing, it'll with your mind to where, you know, every day you're training and you look in the mirror, you're just not satisfied. And that's good to have
mm-hmm.
because that means you're going to keep chasing that ghost. You're going to keep chasing them until you think mentally I caught him or there's no way I'm catching him. But at least look at my track record where, I have my name on the wall. I have trophies. I have this because I chased it the best that I could. You know, there's no end to this. It's, you know, it's really about your health. And, you know, how well I look and how well I can perform and perform my everyday duties like going to work. You know, when I go to work, I stand out like a sore thumb. I like people, but I don't. you know, but I'm also aware of what I look like and, you know, my accountability as being who I am. When people see me, I want to be that nice guy. I want to, you know, tell you that, you know, whatever you're doing right now is working. But the truth is, if you're not putting in the effort, I can't lie to you, you know. And I'm not one to call anybody out. But, I mean, when it's bullshit, it's bullshit. You want to look like me and you say you don't have time. How do you know how much time I have during my day?
Well, they just think, because again, well, it's like you hear these things about, you know, all these Bill Gates, Tesla, Elon Musk, even Mark Wahlberg, like, well, they get up at 5 o'clock every morning. Okay.
Good for him. Shit, yeah. I'm trying to sleep.
But I'm saying, like, they get up, they workout, then they go to work, and people are like, well, I want to be like this guy. I want to be like you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, here's my schedule. I got 24 hours just like you.
Exactly.
What's the difference? That's well, I have a wife point. And a family. It's like,
what does that mean? Make them work out.
Yeah. I mean, so what?
I know the crazy thing is, like, you see so many females that have kids and they bring them to the gym and they work out. I know females that got 3-4 kids and they still train.
Mm-hmm.
They make time for what they want. So there's no excuse. If she can do it with a full-time job, 3 kids, and all of them go to school, really, as a single guy, what the fuck is your excuse?
They're selfish. They want to watch TV. They want to sleep. They want to do things like that. Then they complain why they don't have what everyone else has.
Right.
It's like, the reason I have things you don't have today is because I did things you would not even dream of doing.
Exactly.
And that's the difference.
Yep.
For 5 years, I did stuff that you couldn't even think about doing. And now I have things you'll never have.
Exactly.
But people don't want to do that. They want things right now. They never want to work for it. And that's the shame with everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just kind of like, you almost want to beat your head against the wall sometimes. Like, okay, I'm trying to help you, and you're giving me every reason why I shouldn't.
Right.
And it's just like, and I give you some credit, because that's one thing that I really enjoy about you. You're very humble what you do. And most people look at you and thinking, I can't talk to this guy. He's twice my size. He looks scary. But when you get talking to him, it's like, he's just like everybody.
He's a normal guy.
He's a normal guy.
Right.
He likes the same things I like. He's educated. He's understanding what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He could be just like me.
Right.
But the difference is, you know how to put the work in because you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And like you talked about earlier, about everyone has a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Difference between people like you and people like everybody else is you know exactly what your goal is and the steps to get it.
Right.
They have a vision of what their goal is. I want to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell does that mean?
What's your definition of rich at that?
Yeah. I want to look big. Okay, it's a broad goal. It's
very broad.
So yours is, you want A, B, C. You have them nailed down.
Right.
And you know how to achieve those things. Mm-hmm. And the difference with that is you know what it's going to take. And it's scary sometimes to say, this is what I want. Because once you put that on paper, like, this is my goal, you're making a commitment.
Exactly.
And there's a chance you could fail.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
And that's also the best part. Because if you're not failing, you're not trying. You know, and it sucks because a lot of people are so embarrassed to be like, I failed. Okay, well.
Did you get back up?
Not a lot of people know that, you know, Michael Jordan missed more shots than he actually made.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he made the shots that mattered, and he failed enough to make him want to do better.
Yeah.
If he failed that many times and gave up.
We wouldn't know who Michael Jordan was. We
wouldn't have Michael Jordan shoes.
No.
You know, there wouldn't be no Last Dance. It wouldn't be, you know, Chicago Bulls.
Probably would be a LeBron James.
Exactly. You know, so it tumbles down to where, how bad do you want it? What are you willing to sacrifice? Do you want it that bad? What's the point of saying it and you're complaining, but you're not doing anything about it?
Because nobody wants to be in the dark room by themselves.
Yep.
Because that's the hard part is they see where you are right now. They don't realize all the troubles and tribulations you went through. Same with me. Like, they don't see all the stuff I had to crawl through mud to get where I'm at. They just see the end result.
Mm.
That's what they want. I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
We didn't become who we are because we just woke up one day and said, I'm going to do it.
Right, right.
It's just like, we've been having this vision for ourselves for years, and every day we try to get closer and closer to that.
Mm.
Some days are bad. Some days are great. Some days are why we even get up today.
Right. And it's what you go through also that molds you.
It makes us better.
Exactly. So, you know, like you say, experience, if you never been through it, you can't sit back and judge other people that's going through it.
But the ones that judge, the ones that have never even stepped up to the plate.
And it kills me because, I mean, that goes far and beyond because I've worked plenty of jobs where, you know, we've had, for example, you know, I worked at Walmart Distribution to where I was a morning shift. And on the morning shift, we had a supervisor where all you did was sit behind the computer and see numbers. He was a shit at his job, don't get me wrong. But you seen numbers. You didn't know the physical aspect and how bad it was outside. All you knew was numbers and was like, okay, we're going to hit this goal. We need to hit these numbers. Let's go to work. And then when we didn't hit those numbers, you're up our ass.
Yeah.
You're talking shit. You know, you're writing people up. You're doing this, you're doing that. But you never experienced it. So then flip side, I go to third shift. The dude's been at the job for 20-something years. He's done 10 years in the field that I'm in right now. Then, you know, he also has computer experience. So he sees these numbers. And the way he prep talks us, he comes out. Look, you guys, as long as you know, you're out there, you're busting your ass, you know, you're not just standing there talking, I'll give you a cut on your numbers. I'll help you out. Hell, I'll work beside you. I don't give a damn. And I think that was the best part. Because we had a point where, dude, we was just, I mean, it was July. And, you know, people would cook out and, you know, ordering shit. And just, I mean, dude, it was a hellacious day. And in the warehouse, I don't know if you ever worked in one, but yeah, I mean, it's 100-something degrees in there. So having somebody up your ass and you're sweating ass and it's just uncomfortable, you're already pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a job is a job. You have to get it done because you got to eat, you got family, whatever. But it literally pisses you off. So it got to be maybe, I think I had 3 hours left in the job and we still had, I mean, so much damn work to do. And I'm sitting here throwing these cases, doing this, doing that, and I'm loading up the pee and I'm going down. And I just like heard something in the back to where I know for a fact I was the only person in that area. And I'm busting my ass and I look over and my boss is on the other side throwing the cases on top of my shit. And I'm like, yes, I with you.
Yeah.
I got, you know what? That made me want to work so much harder.
It's a leader.
So I think, you know, with this being said, it plays back into the gym. Because if I have somebody with experience and somebody that's trained and somebody that looks good and basically practice what they preach, fuck yeah, it's going to make me want to work out. People want two things, either to look like their trainer or look better than their trainer.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you're going to look like shit and be like, all right, man, I'm going to get you a six pack. You're going to be like, where the fuck is yours? You know, and this,
I left it at home.
I got a six pack of beer in the fridge.
Yeah. You
know? But I'm not saying that, you know, everybody needs a perfect body. But don't sit there and preach that shit and you have no track record or experience, or you don't even practice what you preach to where, dude, I've seen you eat out before and you eat like garbage. But you're trying to tell people how to eat.
Or it's like, do a push-up and I can't do one.
Exactly.
And that says a lot. I mean, there's the whole idea of, like, you look at your generals in the military. Like, I always talk about Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he never had any bruises or scrapes on his back.
Right.
Because he's always going forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's a leader. That guy that helps you with your work, that's a leader. Because then you want to work harder because he's not just sitting on the ground pointing fingers.
Yep.
He's in the muck with you.
Yep.
He's in the trenches with you. And then you're going to get behind that guy.
Yep.
And then, you know, you see the people that you got in the trenches with and you become successful. And you're like, hey, we're successful because we all did it together. Then you got some guys saying, I want to be like you. And you're like, okay, this is what you got to do. You got 5 years digging through the mud. And you're like, I don't want to do that. Then you're not going to be like me.
Exactly.
And it's then all of a sudden those people become your haters.
Yep.
Like, well,
and then talk cash shit about it.
Oh, yeah.
Cash shit. And it's funny because
they can't be you, might as well talk about it.
Right, right. And they'll sit back and be like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then, even on top of that, after you reach it, they'll be the same ones in your face. Oh, congratulations, man. I knew you could do it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Hey, can I go with you next time?
Yep.
You want to ride those coattails?
You know, the biggest pet peeve I've had is, you know, I got signed to a supplement company, you know, Subzilla, and then I started doing the Arnold. So we ended up, I think it was the very first year that I got signed with them, we ended up being up at Midway, like going with them,
mm-hmm.
Being like part of their group inside the Arnold, like doing the supplements. So a lot of people heard like, oh, you know, Jen's going to be up at the booth, blah, blah, blah. Never talked to these people since day one I started training. They didn't want to pay me for training. They wanted to waste my time. I mean, just any success that I've had, they just hated on me, period. But all of a sudden, now that I'm down at the Arnold, seeing people that normal people wouldn't see, and you're hearing about me, my phone started ringing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you get us some free tickets down to... Are you shitting me right now?
Oh,
free tickets to the Arnold.
Yeah.
I ain't talked to you in fucking 2 years, and you're asking me for tickets to the damn Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And I've seen, you know, screenshots and other shit that, you know, people have said. And it's not a lot of people, because I try to do right by everybody. You know, everybody has their perception of me or whatever they think, but at the end of the day, I'm in the gym. You know, and it's funny what people say, because you see the shit and then when they talk to you in person, it's a whole different story. And I mean, that's not even just in the fitness world. You know, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Any job is going to be like high school, to where if people can't get what they want out of you and, you know, they're miserable and, you know, you already know misery loves company. So if they can find any way to drag you down to their level, they're going to try. You know, especially, you know, if you have something that they want. So you might have a good body. You might have a connection to this. And people, you know, might know you for this option or whatever. And they're going to just, any way that they can put something negative in your life, they're going to try.
Yeah. Because, again, the further they can bring you down,
yep,
makes them seem better.
Exactly.
And I would say embrace it.
Yeah.
Let it fuel you.
If they're not talking bad about you, you must not be doing something right.
There it is.
It kills.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you think about it, mediocrity doesn't scare anybody.
Right, right.
And that's why they do it. So we're going to ask the main question. This is what we always ask everybody. To you, the word performance, what does it mean to you? In all aspects of your life.
In every aspect of my life, I try to keep performance at a high level because you don't want it to drop. When other things start dropping in your life and you start having low performance, it's like a domino effect. It'll roll over to everything. So if I stop coming to the gym, you know, of course my body's going to go down, but what does it do to my health? Okay, well, now look at my job, because I work in a job where I do, you know, security and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to play into my security? You know, yeah. I might fuck around and get hurt by somebody just, you know, wrestling around.
Right.
Then even so, my job is looking at me like, you doing okay? You sick? You know.
Yeah.
Then even so, it might roll into your mental to where, you know what you used to look like. And you always hear it all the time to where, you know, you might hear a guy be like, oh, man, you know, I would have played for Kansas if it wasn't for this bum knee. You know, and that's your performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it really goes hand in hand with everything you do in life. Everything just rolls into itself. And I think performance also plays into accountability, because the better you perform, you're actually holding yourself accountable.
I like that.
And I mean, that's everything. You know, the way I train, the way I eat, the way I carry myself. And I mean, even for the males nowadays, to where if you have a daughter, you want your daughter to look at you like, that's what a man's supposed to look like. The way he is performing for his woman, or the way he's performing for his job to feed his family, or, you know, whatever the case may be, that's how a man is supposed to, you know, perform. You know, so, I mean, hell, look back in the old days. You know, people work with their hands. You know, they built things. It was built off their back, literally. So they perform better than actually they do nowadays, because nowadays everything's a need right now. Mm-hmm. Everything's technology. If you really look at it, you have so many kids that rather stay home and perform on the game, can conversate and perform, you know, on the microphone and talk shit to each other. But then when it comes time to go to school and perform, I mean, you're socially awkward.
Right, they can't do it.
It's because your parents didn't perform to make your ass go outside.
Yeah.
My mom would lock the damn door. We wouldn't come back till the lights come on.
That's how we did it, yeah.
You know, hell, mom, I'm thirsty. There's a hose around back.
Yeah.
Nothing tastes better than copper in midday.
No.
You know?
Oh, that's so okay. Put it on your phone.
Oh, my God, it feels great.
Hose water was so good. Loved it.
But, performance, literally the baseline is how well can I treat myself? Because if I'm not going to perform for myself, nobody is. So it really just goes and show how you want your life to go. You perform poorly, that's what your life's going to be. You perform great to your standards and what you think you should perform like at that time being, you're going to live well. You know, if you perform in a job where you do something that you love, you never have to work again. So really, you know, what's the true definition of it? It's just whatever your mind puts the persona out of, I should perform like this. And, you know, I really do like that it goes hand in hand with accountability, because it really does.
I do like that, because, I mean, everyone has their own idea what performance is.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave a great example of it, because most people think of performance as, I want to perform like him.
Mm-hmm.
And you nailed it. No, performance is what,
yep,
you take it as is. You know, the comment you made is, how to, you know, for a daughter or for my son, I'm going to perform and show him what a man's supposed to be like,
mm-hmm,
to his wife, to, yeah, a woman. And it's amazing how the more and more people I ask that question to, they come up with deeper questions and, mm-hmm, thinking, man, that word is used so much, and I think, yeah, it's used so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you perform every day to better yourself.
Right.
And some people are like, wake up like, what am I going to do today? Oh, no, you're going to perform today.
Exactly.
Is it going to be a bad performance, or, yeah, going to be a good performance? And I think if people wake up every morning because I'm going to perform today,
mm-hmm,
already, I think that's a positive, yeah, word. If, like, what am I going to do today? It, yeah, just sounds,
yeah,
negative.
It just sounds negative as hell.
Oh, I got to go to the gym today. No, I got to go perform today.
Yep.
And it's like, I'm on stage.
It's a standard.
It's a standard. There it is.
It's a standard.
Like, standards meet standards.
Yep.
And performance is performance.
Mm-hmm.
Last question. So, if I was going to come to you and say, James, I need help with performing. I need help with my life. What would you tell me, and what would you tell yourself 10 years ago? If you could talk to yourself 10 years from now, like, you know, the 10-year younger you, the 20-year-old you. So how would you help someone like me that just came in, you barely know me.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, hey, James, I want to be like you, but I need help. Help me be like you. And then what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
I would probably start with, you know, what really are your goals? You know, what are you willing to do, you know, for yourself? You know, really sit yourself down and get a piece of paper and write down what your goals are, because me and you are two total different people. What I've went through, I'm not saying that you can't go through what I've been through, but we all go through our own struggle, and that's what makes it worthwhile. You know, if you're trying to accomplish as far as, you know, what I'm doing in training, I'll be more than happy to show you, because that's easy. You know, just hold yourself accountable and come to the gym for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy. As far as, you know, being oneself, you know, holding yourself accountable, that's literally up to you. That has nothing to do with me, you know. And I think for that person, you know, for you, you really have to find something that you enjoy. So if it's starting out slow to where you know the momentum that you want to take, you know, I want to look like you, but I don't want to go heavy, you know, every other day. I don't want to do a lot of reps. Okay, well, let's look into it. Let's, you know, do some research, you know, and everything is time. Let's do some research. Let's see, you know, what your internal physical is. You know, basically, like, you know, do you have any high blood pressure? Do you have anything else in your genetics that could stop you from performing like me on a day-to-day basis? Because if that's the case, that's what we need to attack first. Then we can move on, because you don't want to start doing great and then you find out later, oh, there's a problem, and then you backtrack and then you go negative. As long as everything is right in front of you, you know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing that can draw back and be like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. And now you're going negative. No. If I know everything is in front of me and I know, okay, this is going to put me back, this could put me, I can't be mad because I know about it. You know, and as far as the 20-year-old me, I don't think I would change anything. I really don't. I think I would tell myself to stay away from females and you know, probably educate myself more. But as far as training and everything I've been through, I'm okay with it. I'm to a point in my life where I'm happy with the way I look. I'm happy with the way I train. I'm happy with everybody I come in contact with. And I've made those moves from day one to where, you know, me and my dad had conversations about jobs. My very first job, he asked me, how do you plan on keeping this job? Well, in my mind, I have a lot of cousins, a lot of uncles, and I hear stories all the time. So either I hear about, you know, people getting fired, or, you know, what happened wrong, or, oh, it was because this person didn't know me and they know them and they da da da. So I put together my own game plan in my mind to where any job that I've had, I can most guarantee you that even though I work with people every day, I guarantee the HR team knows me more than anybody, because I make it that way. When I come through the door, if I'm able to, I'll shake everybody's hand at HR. Hey, I'm James. How are you doing? Nice to meet you. And I'll keep that daily. I have to come to work 30 minutes early, because if not, it gives me anxiety. I don't like feeling like I have to rush. And if I rush, my whole day is shit. So I prep myself. I'm performing. So if that's the case, you know, I'm coming through every day. I shake HR's hand. Just as a group, I'm going to just say HR. Hey, how you doing? Hey. So later down the road, let's say an issue happens where a regular worker might come in and they never in their life been to HR, never in life talked to him. They might talk to them about a check or hey, I missed a day, or this, that, whatever they see on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
They might know them by what's on the computer, just a name. But they know me by face. They know me by smile. They know me by handshake. They know, oh, James is a happy person.
They know
me personally. So let's say an incident happens and you have somebody, you know, on the floor, or somebody that just randomly came to HR. Hey, you know that guy, James? Yeah, I don't like him. He's this, and this.
You're like, no, he's not.
Well, if they never met me and I'm just that person on the computer, fire his ass. Get him out. But because they do, they're going to think like, You know what? That doesn't sound like the James. Let me call him and get his side of the story, mm-hmm. and really see what happened. Let's investigate this a little bit. And I'm happy I did that because I've had, you know, numerous times, even being in a temp, to where, you know, they're like, call me into the office. James, we heard about an incident that happened, blah, blah, blah. What happened? I told them my views. They went and reviewed. Boom, I was right.
Yeah,
and now they see what, you know, who comes out of pocket with that, mm-hmm. you know? But like you said, it's a performance thing. What's my best game plan for myself and how can I succeed from it? Because if not, you have to change it up. And that's all life is changing gears, being ready. So
that's a good one. I should put that on a shirt. But I enjoy it. I learned a lot, man. A lot of little, like, one-liners in there. Right. It's like, it's just like continue one-liners. Right. I like it. It's good. Is there anybody you want to shout out to or anything like that? Or any more one-liners you want to give out before we're done?
I mean, hell, you already know my dad, Nick Bowman. And then, you know, my Instagram, Pain is Gains. I mean, other than that, man, you know, shout out to your gym. You know, the gym here in Gahanna. You guys are doing well. I'm just happy to see gyms do well, period. Anything that's for Ohio or in Ohio to help people, you know, get healthier, change their life is really meaningful to me. Because nothing's better than, you know, randomly hearing in the gym, even though it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, man, the gym really changed my life. You know, ironically, that your gym is called the gym. But, yeah. You know, it's
good
just
play on words.
It's just happy to see that, you know, when people take care of themselves, other people notice, and it's a healthy one for them to where, you know, damn, all I did was go to the gym and so many things are changing in my life. It's because the gym is a non-judgmental thing. You can perform how you want to and as long as you want to here, and it'll make you feel better internally about yourself. And I think that's what a lot of people have problems with, that, you know, there's so much garbage that they eat or they might try, you know, as far as workout wise, to where when you come somewhere that people actually train and have knowledge, and even though it could be something small, and you know, everybody starts off small,
mm-hmm.
but to have that knowledge and come in the gym and, you know you really killed it today and really put some effort towards working on you, it'll trickle down throughout your day to where it makes everything better, to where, okay, my accountability is, you know, damn, I gotta hit the gym. Well, it goes hand with your diet, because if you're out with your friends, I would drink, but I gotta go to the gym.
Gotta go to the gym.
You know, or oh, I would eat this, but I gotta go to the gym. So, you know, I just think that overall, the gym period is, you know, just a healthy exit for people. So I'm very happy for everyone here.
Well, this place changes lives.
Yeah, it does a lot.
It was great, man. I loved Definitely. It.
Thank you.
We'll get you back on here again.
Yep.
You enjoyed this episode of the Gym, the Performance Podcast, and the growth that we're doing here. It seems like we're getting a pretty good amount of traction early on in our existence. And I guess the biggest reason I'm recording this part at the end of this podcast is to kind of reach out to everyone and ask, let us know what you're looking for. Again, the idea of this podcast is to give a shining light on some of the great minds essentially in Columbus, Ohio to begin with, and then hopefully we expand to get some of the best minds in the country, and even maybe, if we're lucky enough, the world. But the main focus of this is to let's attack the word performance and see what that means to some of these great minds and great coaches out there. And what better way of asking our audience, what is performance to you, and how does it relate in your everyday, and how you want it, your performance to increase, and what things can we teach, or what things that you are struggling with when it comes to performance. And that is kind of our goal here, is to help as many people as we possibly can and make it somewhat entertaining if that's even possible. But so this is my call out to you, the listener, and say, hey, what can we do to make this podcast more entertaining and more educational for you, the listener? Just shoot us up and let me know. And thanks again for listening.